Hello, dear listener. This is Basement Gaming episode 42. My name is Herb, and I am joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Oi!
On this episode, Brigham and I play Devil's Advocate, where I will stand in defense of gacha games, and Brigham stands in defense of an unpopular opinion by a certain video game reviewer. If you enjoy the show, please consider giving us a follow on your podcast app of choice and on Twitter at BasementGaming9, and don't be afraid to share the show with your friends. With formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. Hear ye, hear ye.
Hear ye, hear ye.
The court is in order. We are here.
That was my gavel.
What was your intro from the...
Oi, governor. It was just my amazing British accent. That's just on spot.
I can't possibly be able
to. Like a box of crumpets. Yep. It's, honestly, people think I'm British all the time whenever I break that out. So it's pretty impressive.
It's a good thing we probably don't have any British friends. It'd be awesome if we had a British friend and then they just like tweeted at us. And we're like, please stop. Well, yeah. Okay. So we're going to do a little something cool. A little cool and different this time around. We're going to play some Devil's Advocate for some unpopular opinions. So you have the first one. You said you saw a tweet from a video game reviewer. Give us a rundown of what that was about.
Yeah. So sorry, you put me on the spot. I was actually looking to get the exact quote that he had here. But someone from Head of Content for Gaming Bible, which I guess does game reviews and... that kind of stuff. He made a comment about game reviews on Twitter that was pretty controversial. This guy, Mike Diver, at Mike Diver, he just says, reminder that you don't need to be good at games to write about them. Sorry, I'll say this again. You don't need to be good at games to write about them or stream them or even make them. You don't need to finish a game to review it, to publish it, to publish an opinion and score. Most of the time, we don't get the time. Whenever I see the usual suspects use these points as reasons to attack individuals, it shows how little they really know about the industry they're supposedly champions of. It's pure pandering, grifting to an audience of hatred, so far from meaningful commentary and criticism. So he posted this, kind of blew up. People defending him, people arguing against him. Mostly people are arguing, whenever they're arguing the point that he's making about how he's saying you don't need to finish a game to review it, to publish an opinion and score. And this is because a lot of people have this idea that in order to give a full encompassing review of a game, you need to experience the entirety of the game, which they think means you have to, you know, play the game till the credits, right? Which I think is a fair point. And I'd love to get your take on this as well. But personally, for me, I think it can be kind of both ways. So like, yes, I think it's important that there are some people who 100% a game, or just play the main story of a game and give a review on it, and that's fine. That's awesome. But I think other people play a little bit of a game and don't beat it, or play it on that easy mode. I think that's also fine too, because in my mind, it's good to have a bunch of different people from different backgrounds playing the game. And then you as a player can seek out the reviewers that align, that play games like you do. And then that's the person you go to know whether or not this game is for you. You know what I mean? It's like whenever I watch like Video Game Donkey, he makes really good videos. He does does reviews on games, and you know exactly he doesn't like JRPGs. You know what I mean? So it's like whenever he talks about a JRPG and he gives it a bad score, people get upset. But it's like you have to understand like that's just his take on a video game. That's his taste. So me, who I also don't like JRPGs, that's fine. And that just means that whatever there is a JRPG that he actually does really like, even though I don't like JRPGs, I'll go, huh, maybe I'll like that game too. That's kind of the same thing, I think, with difficulty of games, or even not finishing a game. As you know, I don't always play games to the end. In fact, most of the time I don't play games to the end. So for me, it honestly doesn't matter whether or not the game's ending is that great or not. As long as the first few hours are really good, then that's good enough for me sometimes. And so having reviewers that play games like that, and knowing which reviewers play games like that helps me to know who I can go to know whether I should get a game or not. And so that's kind of my thinking of it. But I'm interested to hear you, Herb. What's your thoughts?
You hit a lot of points there. I have a lot of feelings.
I threw a lot at you.
My initial feeling when you said, when you brought this topic up to me, was that guy's an idiot. That's the first thing I said instantly. It's like, okay, so there's this thing about like not liking a game or not liking a type of like a game genre. And I can kind of understand that in a sense, especially from the perspective of like Video Game Donkey or something, where he's like a content creator. He's not a paid game reviewer. If you work for like IGN or whatever, if you don't like that kind of game, then why are you being assigned that game in the first place? It's like, I don't know what your editors do. And second of all, if you're assigned that game, I expect you to do your due diligence and finish the game. It's just a standard thing. Like, how could you like comment on a game's storyline if you haven't finished it? At the very least, you gotta finish it. I can understand what he's saying about not finishing the game. Like, that just baffles me that he thinks you can review a game completely without finishing it. Or I don't really mind if you don't play it on hard. Like, definitely playing a game on like the hardest difficulty is definitely more about the challenge of it than it is about really experiencing the game to the fullest. Because a lot of times, like a game like God of War or freaking Last of Us, like playing it on the hardest difficulty, it completely warps your experience of the game to you're playing a totally different game essentially. So I don't really expect you to like do that. Just, you can play it on easy. That's fine. You'll get most of the experience of it, but I don't know, man. I completely and wholeheartedly disagree with this. It's like a movie review saying, I didn't finish this movie, here's my score. It's like, that's preposterous. You have to finish the movie to tell me what what your idea of it is. And if you don't like it because you don't like the genre, you'll probably say that in your like initially, right? You'll initially say, hey, I don't usually like horror games. So take that as a caveat to my reaction of it. But still, like, give the horror video game fans the courtesy of at least finishing it. If you're gonna go online and say, I got paid to review this game and here it is, but I didn't finish it though, because no time. What are we even talking about right now? Like, is this your job or not? Or is this a part-time thing? What are we doing? You know, it's like, if the industry is set up in a way that reviewers don't have time to finish games before they review it, then that's just an argument against the whole game review industry in the first place. Why are we even doing this if you can't even finish the game properly to review it? Yeah. And what was the other point you said in his tweet?
Therese again says, you don't need to be good at games to write about them or stream them or even make them.
That's fine. That's completely fine. Yeah. You don't need to be a pro to review, to have an opinion on a video game. You don't need to be a pro to stream a game. There's a lot of people that stream video games that aren't fantastic at it, and people still like to watch them because they have a good personality, they're funny, or they just like them, or what have you. Or they do like goofy stuff on stream. That's entertainment. That's all entertainment. That's
video game donkey. When he says you don't have to be good at games to make them, I think I agree with that too. Maybe the reason why you're not good at them, maybe the reason why you don't even like games, is because there's not a game that's specifically for you. And then that just means there's an opening for you to make the game that you want to play. And that could be something that appeals to other people too. You know what I mean? So yeah, I totally agree with him on that. I think everyone does too.
Yeah.
I think it's mainly just the reviewing thing. And I see your point. And it can be really frustrating, especially, you know, when it's a game you're very much looking forward to and you feel like you're getting kind of, you know, gypped a little bit, where it's like, hey, I want a review of the entire game, not like the first few hours. You know what I mean? Because as we know, the ending of a game can affect the overall game, like takeaway or how you walk away from a game by the ending. So that can be important. I get that. And I think that's why it's always important for reviewers to say, hey, this is how much time I put into the game. This is how much I completed of the game. Like I would just say, like, anyone can review a game. Just tell me at the very beginning, you know, what kind of review this is going to be. Like, are you if this is a horror game, are you a horror game fan? Yeah. You know, did you play this game all the way through? Did you play on easy or like on nightmare difficulty? Like, these are like really good points to take. And like, because there's some people reviewing it, I don't think it's a big deal that every single reviewer reviews it in the exact same way. You know what I mean? I guess I'm just saying, like, it's okay for them to be different types of reviews for different types of people.
It's the thing that we do too whenever we start reviewing a game. If at the jump we're just like, hey, I didn't finish this game yet, this is my first impression. Like, you already know, like, now you have an idea of like where he's at. Like, whenever you start a game, the mechanics that happens in the beginning of the game aren't always the same at the end. You might get a new ability, you might get a new weapon, you might get what have you, a new character, right? Things change throughout the game. So it's like, unless you're playing, imagine like reviewing WoW and you only play the first 10 levels. Like, what? You didn't play the game, bro. it's like you had 5 abilities compared to like the 20 you get at the end of the game. I don't know. It's a no-brainer to me.
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess because I could definitely see that. It's like, that's not really giving it. Because you can't get an idea of what the game is like in total with just stuff. So that's a fair point. That could definitely be taken with other games as well.
Yeah, this guy, like, he had me going in the first half, but then he lost me. He lost me completely. In the beginning, I'm like, this is all, people are getting mad at reviewers or streamers or entertainers not being the best at whatever game that they're playing or reviewing. They're just being petty. I don't know. It's like, okay, go watch Shroud or something. Play video games if you're that upset that this streamer isn't hitting all his shots. Like, it's clearly not why he's streaming, right? So no point in getting upset about that. But the whole making game stuff, too, it's like, like, creating, I don't know, it's like creating the game is an art form, right? Playing the game isn't really an art form. Playing the game is... it's just a skill, you know? So I don't know why they're being related one-to-one like that, like where if you're not good at the game, then you're not good at the art of making the story, for instance, or the art of like drawing something that's going to be computer generated, or
it's like
the skill of programming a game. That's two different, that's two very different things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like being like, oh, like, can this person review a movie if they've never made a movie? It's like, of course they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone still has an opinion, even though they have never made a movie. Like, everyone can have an opinion of a game, even if they're not good at the game. Like,
And the movie thing brings up a whole other can of worms, because there are technical things in movie making that every movie maker and movie reviewer agrees is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even with a game, like, it can be related to gaming a little bit, because every game maker, game designer, and most gamers can agree on some things that should be in a game, right? Like, what's good or bad in a video game that you're playing. But it doesn't mean like your skill in that game will translate to you being able to freaking type code to make that game. You know, it's very different. So that's just goes without saying. So I totally agree with him there.
Yeah. And the thing that he was talking about too, like, you know, the reason why they can't beat the game is because they don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that brings up two things. Like you said, one, maybe the system is rigged, which I think it is partially rigged. I think that's by design by developers or publishers. So that way the reviews come out after the game comes out, so people can pre-order the game and buy the game, the people that are excited for it, you know, because it really isn't like, what do companies have to gain from reviews coming out before the game comes out? If it's an already well-known game, you know, like if it's an indie game, it makes sense to get some buzz, you know, free advertisement for the game. But if it's like a big game like Fallout or, you know, like some Star Wars game, there's zero incentive for reviews to come out before the game comes out. So why not give the reviewers the game the day before it comes out? And, you know, then they put them in a position where it's like, crap, do we just put out the review early, or do we just, like, you know, put out the review before we beat the game, so it comes out on the day or before it comes out, or do we wait? And, you know, it's hard to say, well, let's just wait, because, you know, every other site's going to put out their reviews.
Yeah.
You know, before the game comes out,
everyone,
all the buzz is up.
Yeah, so everyone in the industry is trying to put that YouTube video up before the other. So they just speed through like a third of whatever game, and then they just put out whatever they can out as soon as possible, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So again, this tweet essentially just reinforces my idea that video game reviews are useless, because it's like you said, it's just an excuse to put an ad up, and I don't care for them. I've never have. I don't think I've ever made a decision. We've talked about video game reviews way before, like in your other episodes. I've never put any decision making on buying a video game on a review. Like, never, not even close. So yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
For me, it's like, it's specific people. Like, I never go to IGN for reviews to be like whether I want to buy. Like, sometimes I read them, but I never take an IGN review to heart of like, this is what's gonna tip me between buying the game and not buying the game. But other people I trust, like Video Game Dunk is a good one I keep going back to because I feel like I have kind of similar tastes as him. So it's like, I know what kind of games he likes, and it's kind of similar what kind of games I like. Or even the same thing with Kind of Funny, you know, like Greg Miller's taste in games is kind of similar to mine. So it's like, there's certain like pinpoints of people that I go to, but like entire websites like Polygon or like going to Metacritic, to know whether you should get a game or not is like the worst thing you could possibly do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially knowing this, the different types of reviewers that are out there and how they review games are so different. It's so hard to try to quantify all those different reviews together as just one number.
That's definitely like the happy medium, is to find a specific outlet or a specific person, because they usually don't subscribe too much to the whole let's get it out on release day approach of gaming reviews. They'll usually be like a week or two late, because, you know, they're actually going to take time to play the freaking video game before they review it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not. That's like, what I can see when it comes to reviews. It's like, okay, if you really want to find out, find someone that likes that game type and then see what they think of it. And, or, like you said earlier, find someone that actually doesn't like it. And then, how hard on it are they? If they're pretty light on it, then maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah. It's kind of surprised me. This person was like a little antagonistic. He was like, you know, put out this point, which is a, you know, it's a point to be made, and you can agree with it, disagree with it, whatever. And then he was just like, whenever I see the usual suspects use these points as reasons to attack individuals, it shows me how little they really know about the industry they're supposedly champions of. It's like, whoa. It's like, I went from like 1 to 11 really quick. I don't know. It's just kind of weird to like turn this into a antagonistic thing, but anyway, yeah. That was interesting. I do know that there was that guy, I can't remember which reviewer did it, but which website it was, but someone did like a little demo, a play demo of Cuphead. Remember that game Cuphead?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really hard, and this person playing the game at like E3 or something, for he was like a Polygon or something like that, he like couldn't get past like the first level. Like, he kept like running and like couldn't get over like the tutorial part of like jumping over things and stuff like that. And people were just like, oh my gosh, and this guy reviews games and he can't get past his first level. And it's like, come on, like, that's, I don't know. It's like, I get you're upset, but like being good at a game doesn't unlike make you a good journalist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And just because you're bad at game doesn't mean you're a bad journalist either. I don't know. Just, yeah, like you were saying before, like, it's just a really weird thing to try to connect together like that.
Okay. Also, like, there are people that are like really good at a game and then still don't like the game. So
that's true too. Yeah, that happens all the time. There are people who play a game for hundreds of hours and then say they hate it. You know, I play WoW. I'm sure League of Legends has that too.
I would probably rate League of Legends like a 4 out of 10. Like, there is sometimes where League is like a 4, sometimes it's like a 7 at best on the best seasons. So it's like,
take 100 hours of the game. Do you recommend it? Oh, definitely not.
It's like, don't play this game. What do you mean? Find something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. That's definitely an unpopular opinion. I feel like the point that's really under contention, we didn't really do a good job defending him on. The other stuff, I defend him pretty much completely. It's like, why are you attacking him? Because he's not good. Come on. Like, come on, dude. You can still have a brain about video games and not, like, have good fingers, you know?
Yeah,
It's different. But anyway, that was a good one. That's a good little topic there. I think it was interesting. I'm interested to see what other people think about it, because I feel like it's a no-brainer that, yeah, you gotta at least finish the freaking game, dude. Come on.
You would think so, but I do see a ton of people with this opinion that you don't have to finish the game. Although I see this from other game reviewers, we're probably put in that same situation of, I gotta put out a review for this game in like 48 hours.
Yeah, I got like 6 hours to do this. I can't, dude. If I found out that a reviewer for like Last of Us Part 2 played like the first half of the game and then stopped and decided to put out a review, why would I listen to you? The second half of that game is wildly different from the first half. So, I don't know. Anyway, we should move on. We're already 20 minutes in. My part might be a little bit shorter, so we'll see. I've been playing Genshin Impact recently, like I mentioned last week. And last time I said I didn't hate it. Now I'm saying it's actually pretty decent. I think it's a decent game. And I'm here to defend the game genre, the gacha game. So, diehard gamers will know what a gacha game is. And here's a definition here on Wikipedia. Take that. A gacha game is a genre of video game that implement the gacha toy vending machine mechanic. Similar to loot boxes in video games, gacha games induce players to spend in-game currency to receive a random virtual item. Most of these games are free-to-play mobile games where the gacha serves as an incentive to spend real money, real-world money. So, it's essentially just an RPG game, usually on mobile, that has random loot boxes. So, I'm going to focus on Genshin because it's the one that I've played the most by far, obviously, where you essentially have to roll this in-game currency to get weapons and other characters that obviously help you progress through the gaming, through the storyline, and through whatever else you are doing in the world. And there's two things that this game in particular does that I think salvages it from other gacha games. There's one, the step-up gacha, where your chances of pulling a rare item is increased every time you roll. Like, every time you buy a loot box, for instance, you have a higher chance of getting a better roll. Or, like, in Genshin specifically, when you roll on a specific item 10 times, you have a guaranteed chance of getting, like, a better item, essentially. So, the more you roll, the better chances you have of getting a better item. So that kind of helps with the randomness of it, where it's like, I know for a fact, okay, by the 10th time, I'll get something good, even if the last 9 were kind of trash, you know? And there's also a pity system, essentially, where it's like, if you've been rolling terribly for like the last 5 or so, your chances of getting one, a good one, on the next one is increased. So like those two things are like, have helped me a ton in like appreciating this game. And not hating it whenever I get like a really bad roll, just like, all right, whatever. Maybe the next one will probably be better, kind of thing. So, I think the biggest thing about gacha games that people hate is the real money aspect. Where if you lose yourself, Brigham, you can really spend some money on these freaking games. It's kind of crazy, especially like in the early game when you feel yourself like I'm pretty weak. Like I had a lot of trouble getting through a challenge earlier. This weekend, and I had to call my friend, texted him, I was just like, hey, can you get on your character and get in my world and help me get through this? And like, I could definitely see people be like, this is stupid. I don't have enough damage for this. I need to buy the in-game currency to freaking buy a better weapon. So I could see how people are just like, that's not real gaming. That's just pay to win kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have yet to spend a dime on this game, and I feel like I'm progressing pretty well. So that's my initial reaction. It kind of blows my mind
that you're so into that game, too. I mean, I thought you weren't super into, like, I mean, do you feel like you're, like, grinding in that game? Are they doing the same thing to get these boxes?
Not yet. So this is one of those situations, like we're saying earlier, where how many hours? I don't know how many hours I have in this game. But this is a long game. So until I get to the end game, I can't really give you a fully-fledged review of it. So far, I don't feel like I'm grinding yet because I'm still doing new quests. I'm still doing new side quests. And I have a lot of progression ahead of me, and I feel like I'm still being rewarded for that progression, like, properly, right? So, for me, games like this, the problem gets to end game. It's like, when you get to end game, if the company isn't good at improving their end game, that's where they lose me. So, a game like WoW, that held on to me for over a decade, are really good at that. Because they had to have extra expansions, extra patches, extra dungeons, extra raids, etc., etc., etc. So Genshin Impact is a very new game. So I have some hopes that they we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how they do in the next year or two in terms of like expansions. They've been pushing out expansions pretty consistently recently. So I feel like they're pretty good at it, at least from the jump. So we'll see how they go. But the person I know that plays this a lot says that all of his friends have dropped off, so that's not good. That's not a good sign. We'll see how I do.
What dropped off?
His other friends oh, that played.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of dropped off already. So we'll see how I feel in, like, let's give it like 2 or 3 more weeks.
During the end of Battle for Azeroth WoW expansion, when everyone, you know, was hating on WoW, one of the WoW streamers got super into Genshin Impact and was like trying to get all the other WoW streamers into it. And he kept talking about how much, like, hundreds of dollars he spent in that Genshin Impact game. And everyone's like, what do you spend the money on? So I guess it's interesting to hear. Like, I guess, like you're saying, if you have the money to spend and you want to spend it, the game definitely gives you reasons to spend it.
Yeah, it almost like it entices you quite a bit. Because it's like, you could roll like one more time and get that 10th row, and then you get a guaranteed 5-star kind of thing. It's like, I'm going to keep playing.
yeah. Guys, you see, I hate games like that. Like, Elder Scrolls Online for me is the worst game that's similar to that. And the fact that, like, so not only does Genshin Impact, not Genshin, Elder Scrolls Online, it's buy to play, so you got to buy the game. You got to buy the expansions. And there's no sub fee, but it's optional. But if you sub, you get a whole bunch of things. Like, you get double the bag space, which, by the way, there's not that much bag space. You get like extra, be like a bonus XP. You get like all these extra like little things. Like, you can like add color tints to like different armor pieces. You get like each month you get these things called crowns, which is like the currency used for the in-game shop to buy extra things like cosmetics. And even things to make the game easier, like you can buy a freaking vendor. So, like, you know, like the Mammoth Mount, World of Warcraft, you can sell stuff to. You can buy a vendor with these crowns that you have to pay money for. Or if you're an ESO Plus subscriber, you get so much of these crowns each month. So it's just like all these things to the point where you're just like, if you're not paying money in the game, you feel like you're not really playing the game. You know what I mean? Like, you feel like you're at such a huge disadvantage that it's not really worth playing the game unless you're paying like this monthly fee on top of even more crowns, because obviously once you start buying stuff off the crown shop, you want to buy more, and they have these crown crates, which are loot boxes. They change out. They have a new one every season. And these crown crates have their own special mounts and stuff that you can only get through crown crates. You can't just like buy them off the cash shop. You have to get them from a freaking loot box. It's insane, dude. It drives me nuts how they have so much of this like cosmetics and like convenience things in the cash shop. And then you play the actual game and you're like, where are the rewards?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Exactly.
I think that's my biggest thing with like games that have all these like free to play models of like, oh, but you know, you can only, oh, but it's okay that there's loot boxes because it's only cosmetics. And it's like, yeah, but that's the reward system. Like, if you put all the cosmetics in the pay shop, then what's the reward that I'm trying to get in game? And
yeah,
I know it's different for other people. Some people like just play the game for the game and don't care about cosmetics. But I think it's important to have those rewards and stuff, and having to pay money or in Genshin Impact, like having the option to pay money instead, it kind of like devalues the game for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that's one other thing too, is the whole right now, like I said, I feel like I'm getting rewarded for my progression, right? And there's definitely not a lot of cosmetics yet in this game. So I'm interested to see how they handle that. There's some cosmetic stuff in the game that you can win by just playing, but there's not a lot in general. So they might add more stuff. So we'll see if that's just going to be behind a paywall, if you can unlock it by playing. But again, this is all things that I don't know how I'm going to feel playing it when I get to the end game. And yeah, nothing feels obligatory right now. Like, I don't feel obliged to buy anything yet. I feel like I'm still getting the in-game currency pretty consistently, so I can just like roll and get in the, you know, gamble on the loot boxes to get my new character or my new weapon, and then I keep it moving. But I mean, the person I know that plays this in the late game says he's like, I think he's subbed to something. I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get there. I know for a fact I'm not subbing to this freaking game, though. No more subscriptions for me. And it, especially for like RPGs like this, I understand the point of like, if you're playing an RPG and you're not being rewarded, what are you even doing? Like, you're just doing chores for no rewards.
Yeah,
like,
the reward system is so important that I don't think people realize that. People always complain about different things in RPG. Like, WoW is like that. It's like, people complain so much about WoW and how, oh my gosh, this thing is a chore and this thing is a chore. And it's like, well, the reason why it's a chore is because the reward to do that thing is just not worth the amount of effort. Like that's what it comes down to so many times.
Yeah. If you have to log in every day to do these dailies to just get some gold to do nothing with, nobody likes this.
Yeah.
Or just get repetition to do nothing. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Or
it's
like,
all
you
about
know, like,
the balancing of it.
Yeah. If you're doing a bunch of work to do the exact same raid, but just on a slightly different difficulty, it's like, why? Like,
I did it once already.
Yeah, exactly. It's like having that rewards. And that's why, like, I'm kind of worried sometimes. I don't know. These like gacha games, it's like making paying money an alternate route, even if it isn't like a cosmetic thing. It's like, oh, like, you know, you can do this thing in game or you can pay money and get to the same point. And it's just like, can we just like have a normal game? Like, is that too much to ask for these days?
Yeah. I mean,
does every game need to have some sort of like pay money to skip this thing kind of feature?
You got to see it from their view too, because this is a free game, by the way. They got to make their money somewhere.
Bro. That's true.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere. True. Unless you want ads flying around the entire time you're playing, you need somewhere for people to dump their money into. So that's kind of like where I forgive them a little bit, where it's like, okay, you have cosmetics. It's fine. Like, I played League for years and dealt with their cosmetic paywall. And shoot, even now they've added a loot box system where you can pay to open up loot boxes, which is a whole other can of worms. I don't like it. But yeah, again, that's one thing that Genshin does well. It's like it makes the loot boxes a little bit less frustrating so that like people that are just opening them up through playing don't feel like there's no way for me to get this 5-star weapon unless I pay for it, you know, I keep paying to open up these loot boxes because it feels like every time you open up a loot box, you just get a 1-star. But the game tells you, hey, the more 1-stars you get, the higher the chance you'll get like a better weapon the next time kind of thing. So all hope isn't lost kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I think they've been pretty smart about it. And there's a reason why these are also like mobile games. They're very popular in Japan and China or in Korea where a lot of people spend a lot of time on trains and commuting and stuff like that, and they're just on their phones, and it's a great little thing to just pop open and just run around a little bit. But let's not blow the bank on these games, people. We're better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's so many awesome game developers and studios out there making, like, that, you know, that want to make the game the art. And I feel like so many times, even in free-to-play games, like, I mean, I understand that. It's a free-to-play game. They got to make money. But then just don't, I don't know, would it be so hard to have an option in the game where it's like you either can play free to play or you pay $60 up front and then you don't have to worry about any of these like, you know, little nickel and diming throughout the gaming experience? Like,
that's an interesting thought experiment. Yeah. Like if Genshin was just $60 and then you got, but then you run into the reward system problem.
Yeah, I mean, the whole game, it sounds like it was designed around nickel and diming you.
Yeah, it's literally designed around, like, unlocking stuff and, like, rolling for things. So now we're just talking about a different game.
Yeah, that's true.
Completely different game mode, yeah.
That's the thing I always think about, too, like, with World of Warcraft. It's like, would I want World of Warcraft to be a free-to-play game?
No.
Because, like, subscription games is, like, you know, it's so outdated now. It's so hard. Like, WoW will never grow with a subscription. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, why would people pay $15 a month for a single game when they could do something like Xbox Game Pass, $15 a month and get hundreds of games or play a game like League of Legends for free? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, then I think, what would that cost me, though? Like, how much nickel and diming would they do in game to be able to make up the money they'd be losing from getting everyone to pay $15 a month? So it's a hard decision. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've run this experiment before with WoW. It's like, I don't think it'd be good. It'd be quite bad if WoW was free with just microtransactions. It would be kind of rough.
Yeah,
considering how much they give you for just playing the game, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they do give. I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy going from like WoW to other MMOs. It's just like how much cosmetic stuff, how many just mounts alone, like how many mounts they add in each patch. It's insane.
Oh, I can't, the freaking mounts, dude. I would not have gotten that get every mount achievement. Thousands of dollars in mounts.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, well, I'm interested to hear more about your journey in Genshin Impact.
If I actually make it to end game and play it for a little bit, I'll give a full review.
You could give a review right now. You don't have to beat the game.
It is a 2 out of 10. it's been fun. It's been fun to think about. I'm glad we're doing this whole getting out of our wheelhouse thing. Just makes me think about other games a little bit more.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Even though that reviewer made us talk about something we talk about all the time, I think it was he definitely gave some points about, like, I just didn't know that he was being attacked for the other stuff he was saying. That just sounds so preposterous to me that I'm glad we uncovered that. Like, yeah, it's yeah. fine.
You don't have to be we can agree with him on there, yeah. But, if you're going to review a game, if you're getting paid to review games, do not just the fans, do the people. Imagine spending hundreds of hours making a game and then a reviewer being like, it's a 5 out of 10. I've only played like 4 hours of it, but gosh, I'd be pissed. Anyway, we're already like 37 minutes, so we should probably stop. But we could go on forever about that.
We could go on for it. Welcome to the Basement Gaming Podcast, where we literally have to stop ourselves from talking, or else we'd be here for like an hour and a half. All right, well, if you enjoyed this episode, just go ahead and give us a shout on Twitter at BasementGaming9. Give us a follow on your podcast listening app of choice. And, of course, share the show with all your friends and families. And come back next time. Peace.
Bye.